This morning's title I'm dead is the true answer. Before we go, let's stop and pray. Father, many people around this world are seeking the meaning of their lives, the meaning of their purpose. A lot of people are confused, a lot of people are following the wrong direction. But we do know that you are the one true God, who is holy and righteous. And you provide us the way of life and the righteousness and holiness. You do not just appease us for our carnal desire, but you give us way to eternal life. Father, we are asking you to give us insight this morning. Give us wisdom to understand. Give us anointing to hear your word with gladness. Father, we are asking you to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let your Holy Spirit be upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. And we pray for President Obama. I don't know what he's doing this morning. Father, you speak to him that he may know the power of resurrection and that he may submit to you, that he may receive the salvation through Jesus Christ. And we also pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we ask you to protect them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On February 17th this year, the White House hosted a summit on countering violent extremism to highlight domestic and international efforts to prevent violent extremists and their supporters from radicalizing and recruiting and inspiring individuals or groups in the United States and abroad to commit acts of violence. An effort to even made even more imperative in light of the recent and tragic attacks throughout the world. That I'm just quoting what they wrote in their website. At the beginning of that summit, President Obama said that much of a blame for such violent behavior can be traced back to the lack of jobs, as well as the improper education of those terrorists. When I heard that, I didn't know what to say about his statement. I don't know whether he's just plain clueless about terrorists or he's just naive. This ISIS terrorist, known as, one particular ISIS I'm sure you've seen on TV just about every 6 o'clock news and 10 o'clock news, known as a Jihadi John, who beheaded several hostages. He was wearing the, looked like a modern day ninja with a left hand and a small knife and holding the hostage's head and talking something to the camera. He was known as a Jihadi John amongst the Westerners. They found out that he was Muhammad Mwazi, who graduated with a computer programming degree. And he was raised in the west of London by the well-to-do parents. In other words, he had a good degree, he was raised well. Yet he turned out to be radical terrorist who killed people just for fun of it. He's not the only one among the known terrorists. Osama bin Laden. Do you know he was born to the family of a billionaire in Saudi Arabia and attended university there? Like the people who have a bumper sticker, visualize world peace. Have you seen that? You've seen that many times on the street. The majority of people around the world are looking to the politicians, educators, and scientists to bring peace to this world, as well as solve their life problem, not to our Lord Jesus Christ. In my opinion, this blame must go to the believers of Jesus Christ, especially to the pastors and Bible teachers. And you're thinking, uh-oh, where are you going with this? Listen to me, please. Unfortunately, many of the believers of Jesus Christ wanted to be the Bible teachers and pastors. Many of them wanted to be liked by their congregation. They tend to water down the gospel message of Jesus Christ and reduce the Jesus Christ from deity to this some sort of humanity, so they can be popular. Way too many Christians keep their Savior, Jesus Christ, tucked away in the little corner and recess, and his name is only mentioned in the church setting on Sunday morning or the midweek service. They'd rather spend time in the Facebook and the Twitters doing this kind of thing more than the spending time in the Word of God, the Bible, daily, and pray daily. Many of us act and live as if our Lord Jesus Christ is dead, not risen. It is no wonder that unbelievers around us don't see the real Jesus Christ in our lives, because we don't represent Him well to others. To them, our Savior, Jesus, seems weak and small and irrelevant. He's just another figure from the ancient time, not for the 21st century. In result, the people doubt the authority of the Word of God, the Scripture, and their ideas of God for far less than the God of the Bible. In many cases, these two, their idea of God and the God of the Bible, are not even remotely resembled. And since these people think that there is no authority in the Bible and the Christian God is not a holy and righteous God, they would do whatever they want. And they think that they can make up their ideas what God should be as they go along. They alter it and they change it as they go, and it's common for them to say, that's not how I interpret the Bible, or that's not what I think about God should be. They say Christian God is a loving God. He will not send anyone to hell. Is that correct? Yes. But people choose to go to hell. I'm going to talk about that a little more. It is a total chaos in their spiritual world, those unbelievers, and it contaminates their physical and emotional world. As far as they are concerned, Jesus Christ is nothing more than a name they can use as a cuss word, not God of the universe, the creator of the universe. Go to the book of Matthew, please, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 10, please. Verse 34, please. Jesus speaking, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law," which is common, "and a man's enemy will be those of his own household." Stop there, please. See, for many people, essentially, those who are willing to embrace a physical, temporary peace at all costs, they insist that what Jesus said and taught in the Bible must be rejected because it costs too much to them, too much to them to follow. Even many pastors and Bible teachers try to teach Jesus as some dope-smoking, peace-loving, leftover hippies from 1960s. With the round glasses, you know, like a John Lennon style, and peace, man. That's not what Jesus is. And he would, the idea that he sings a que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Is he? No. By the way, in case you're thinking, oh, I know how to sing that song, you just dated yourself. Before the World War II, listen up, before the World War II, Nazism blossomed in Germany only after the church had failed to fill the vacuum following World War I. When church failed to present and declare the dynamic living Christ, somebody stepped into that void. Guess who that was? Adolf Hitler. When Christ, listen to me please, Christ is pushed out of his rightful place as the Lord in the nation, immorality, deceit, and tyranny take over. Do you think it describing the current situation? Yes. Who has not heard about the disgraced NBC anchorman Brian Williams, who had falsely recounted a story that he was in a helicopter that was hit by the ground fire in Iraq in 2003? How about the Lance Armstrong, who used a performance-enhancing drug throughout his career? And he declared, fiercely defended his innocence, only to crash and burn, lost all seven tour titles, and now he is banned from cycling. It is a kind of deception limited to the rich and famous only? No. This book, The Day America Told the Truth, it's a kind of dated book. According to this book, statistic was stunning. 91% of Americans admit that they lie regularly. 91%. 86% admit they're lying to their parents. 75% admit they're lying to their friends. And 69% of Americans admit that they lie to their spouse. Don't look at your wife and husband. One study by the University of Massachusetts in 2002 reported that 60% of people lie at least once during a 10-minute conversation, and usually two or three times. Whether it's a small lie or exaggeration, they're still lying. Jesus taught us that Satan is the father of lies in John chapter 8. Since the Garden of Eden, he continually provoked the human minds and encouraged us to lie. Here are the five lies, at least, the world believes to counter the God's truth on this matter. Lie number one. I'm sure you've heard this thing. There is no absolute moral authority. There is no absolute moral authority. The liars would claim and admit that this is a good thing until that lie affects them. And they say, well, there's no absolute moral authority. And whatever you want, you can have. And somebody takes the wallet from them, they get mad. Whether they like it or not, the Word of God has absolute and moral, ethical, and spiritual authority. Go to the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Some of you guys already know this by heart. All Scripture, this one, the one on your left, all Scripture is is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Did you get that? For correction. and for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Second lie people believe is, if it feels good, what? Do it. You know, this is the biggest lie, deception, people that Satan pulled, and people pulled, especially men pulled on women since 1960s. It started with the free sex movement. Go to Proverbs, right after the Book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, please. All the ways of man are pure in God's eyes, right? No. In their own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirit. Third lie people believe is we are free to redefine marriage as we want. It is not just about homosexual marriage, having more than one spouse, and who knows what kinds of definition they're going to come up with. And they don't want to be limited within a God-given marriage, one husband, male, biological male, that is, and one wife, biological woman, to satisfy their sinful nature. They don't want that. By the way, when we have our building, we will have it someday, God willing, I decided we are not going to allow anyone to get married unless they are part of congregation. That prevents any homosexual marriage, because they will come just to harass the church. And we changed the bylaw. It said biological male, biological woman. We have to put that word biological. And you may say, well, isn't that harsh against homosexuality? I'm going to go there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, please. And you may say, and some of you might say, that, yeah, that's intolerant. I'm not intolerant. This word of God says the truth. I'm simply following it. I don't care what the politics says. I don't care what the social media says. I care what the Word of God says. Verse 4, chapter 13. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But the fornicators, that means those who are living together before marriage, and adulterers, those who are committing adultery outside of marriage, God will judge. And the fourth lie people believe is that homosexuality is a God-given and good and should be celebrated. I don't know where they find their basis in the Holy Bible. They don't. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, throughout the entire Bible, it is very clear that God does not condone homosexuality. Our Lord never goes against His own word, Bible. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. This particular verse is hated by all the liberal Bible scholars. I don't know why they call themselves liberal Bible scholars, because they don't even believe in the Bible anyway. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the man, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Fifth lie. So far, I'm talking about all the popular concepts. Anna? It's my body. I can do whatever I want to do with it. Have you heard that? This is another lie that pulled against women from 1960s. Yes, they are their bodies. But the unborn babies, they are trying to abort our human beings. When someone tries to, listen to me please, when someone trying to stop a human stop human life without justifiable cause, it is what we call murder. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In the United States, annually, 1.3 million babies have been aborted, killed. Since the abortion was legalized in 1973, over 54 million babies been killed. 54 million lives been removed for the sake of a convenience. I like what Russell D. Moore, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Ethic and Religious Liberty Commission, said. Many Americans are living under the illusion that lying causes no victims, when in fact a lying has a victim, starting with the conscience and the integrity of a liar himself or herself. We must realize what lying does to one's own soul. Then he added, we are all sinners desperately in need of grace. I could not agree with him more. Without our heart, within our heart, rather, our Lord Jesus Christ has placed three inner needs. They are need for the love, need for the significance, and need for security. Rather than humbling ourselves to the Lord to receive His love and becoming His children and protected by His ultimate power, many people live to lie to others, and to meet one of these three inner needs illegitimately. By now, some of you think, oh, poo-hoo to you. I came to church on this resurrection day to hear this gloomy and dark message. Where's the encouragement? Well, slow down, I'm getting there. This is the opening so far. No, just kidding. John chapter 15, please. Our memory verse. John chapter 15, verse 11. If you're looking for a just feel-good message, you came to wrong church. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, Jesus, our Savior, promised to us that we can have His inexpressible joy only we come to Him with humility and repentance of our sins and accept Him our Savior and Lord. No religion, no high educational ideology, and no nothing requires to be accepted by Him except the simple faith in Him. Many people tend to divide their lives in compartments. Political things inside of this heart, and the financial things in this heart, and oh yeah, the Christianity back in somewhere, I'll just pull it out once a week or once in a while when I go to church. If you're a born again Christian, you cannot do that. Either He is God, He is the Lord of you all the time for all he's not. Our God, Jesus Christ, who was risen from the dead, has a power to confront and solve our problems. Do you know anyone who can overcome, he has enough power to overcome his own death? No, not one. Not a one person except Jesus Christ. Jesus once declared it is in Luke chapter 4. Please, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You may not fall into any of this category physically, emotionally, but spiritually you might be in one of those because you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You might be one of those spiritually blind person. You might be spiritually prisoned. Or you might be spiritually poor because you don't have Jesus and you don't have that riches comes from Jesus Christ. There are many self-proclaimed saviors in the world. None can save to the uttermost because they cannot reach to the depth of human depravity. There is only one God who rescues us from that depth. Isaiah 43:11 says, I even am the Lord, that beside me there is no other Savior. The next event in prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Have you ever heard the word rapture? It's not the second coming. There's two differences. Between the time of the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's 7 years.